streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
Ahoy, and good morning, esteemed professors.
They can't take boats or something?
I guess they could, but...
Then they wouldn't be in a trivia question, though.
Yeah, that's true. That was Yosemite Sam.
I think you got the wrong play. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, the first Trivia Friday show of the new year. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Or Professor Ed, I should say, for this show, Professor J.J. Jasper.
Great to be here. Let's raise our cups of coffee, make a toast. May your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. We're only going to have trouble till about the second weekend of March.
All right. Hey, we kept the flame of Trivia Friday alive through the holidays. We didn't miss one show.
We did not.
Except, not one Trivia Friday show. We were in here live.
All right.
Every Friday.
That's right. We're dedicated.
We're dedicated.
I would say this to... To you, Year Through the Bible folks who are already behind.
Hey, on the other side of that coin, I saw a post like December the 30th said, I don't mean to brag, but I've got enough money to last me till the end of the year.
Yeah, it was like December 30th
right,
or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you mentioned that. In all seriousness, read your Bible through this year or make a commitment to read your Bible every day. When we pray,
that's what simply, I had to go with.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, when we pray that simply talking to God, when you read your Bible, that's God talking to you. He will reveal himself to you. He'll speak to you. He'll nudge your heart, whisper to you, and tell you how much he loves you. He'll lead, guide, and direct you as you read his word. But it really is. It's inspiring. You'll get joy, courage, faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. So read your Bible every day. It will absolutely, it's life-changing.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Trivia Friday, it is also known as
Learning University.
Learning University's on the air. If you're new to this show, we're going to ask three trivia questions each and ask you to call in and ask yours and answer ours. How about that? Answer and ask, that's what we prefer here. And what's the phone number, Ed, and what's the rules for today?
All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call to get on this show. Now, we do ask that if you have been on the air with us in the last 2 months, 8 weeks, we just ask you to wait another week. We try to give as many new folks as possible an opportunity to get on the air. So hold off one extra week if you've been on the air with us in the last eight. The number is 888-589-8840.
What's that number, Ed?
It is 888-589-8840. We do ask that you be 11 years old or older to call to be on the show.
Need some ID.
Yes.
They need to.
If we have to ask for it, we will.
If we have ID, we would.
Yes.
We'll card you.
Yeah, we'll card you. And so 9 questions is what we will put forward. One of them's kind of special, JJ.
One is a mystery question. You don't know which one it is, but
that's
it
the mystery,
is.
Right?
It is one of these original 9. So for you poker players who are counting cards, it's one of these original 9 questions. When you hear the different ones come off the table, you'll have it narrowed down if you're paying close attention. Mm-hmm. But if you land on the mystery question and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound.
The beloved cowbell shall ring.
That means you're going to win a real nice AFR ball cap.
Yep. We're going to send this AFR ball cap, which I'm holding up for those of you watching on the internet. I'm holding it up right now, and we're going to send that cap your way. And as a token of our appreciation for you playing trivia and you answering the mystery question correctly. So there you go, AFR ball cap.
And now if folks don't want to have to rely on
luck.
On the luck of the draw.
Straight up luck.
You can buy these hats. That's right. You can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and search for the AFR ball cap.
They're real nice.
They're real nice, Clark. And so check it out. I'm not sure how much those go for. I'll have to check it out at some point. But
I don't know.
Anyway, it's reasonably
priced.
It goes
up and down. What's the website to buy the hat?
Resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net if you want to buy one.
All right, go, Ed.
All right, here are my three questions. First question, Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow? It's a short story, famous. Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Or if you're a Loretta Lynn fan, holler.
Holler. Who there wrote The Legend of Sleepy Holler?
It's right over from the creek.
That's... You know, I had no idea what a holler was
right.
When I moved down here to the South, married a Mississippi
really?
Girl. Yeah,
you'd never seen a fried green tomato.
No, I didn't even know those existed.
Or mater.
Or
yeah, I was going to say mater, but it's just
I had never tasted a homegrown tomato.
Yeah,
like
what?
Right out of the garden, right out of the garden. all I had was store bought tomatoes. I know we're getting off track here. And when I first met my in-laws, my wife and I were engaged. We were on spring break. I went to meet her family, and my wife asked me for lunch. She said, "You want a tomato sandwich?" And I looked at her like she had two heads. I said, "Why would I want a tomato sandwich?"
Lathered with mayonnaise.
Yes. But her family had a garden, and that was the first time I ever tried homegrown tomatoes out of the garden, and it was like a whole new food. Changed my life.
One story reminds us of another. I promise I'll make this quick. So we grow a garden every year, as much for the kids as anything. We got corn right off the stalk, corn on the cob, shucked it, you know, Mel cooked it with whatever was for lunch. And so the girls, they're eating this, you know, these roast nears, this corn on the cob, and they said, "What is this stuff?" And we said, "Well, it's corn on the cob." "No, this is amazing. This is so sweet and delicious. I've never tasted anything like this." And it gave me a chance to say, "Here's the deal. They pick this stuff in California, ship it to Kansas. It sits in a warehouse, ship it to the grocery store. It sits on the shelf, you know, a couple more weeks. And this is how God really intended for you to get things right out of the garden with the taste, with the vitamins and everything."
Oh, yeah.
They got hooked on saying, "Okay, something fresh right out of the garden." Mm-hmm. It really is, you know, it's different.
It's different.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my next two questions they're related, folks. Okay, so hang on, listen closely. My second question is, what Major League Baseball pitcher won 7 Cy Young Awards but never threw a no-hitter? What Major League pitcher won 7 Cy Young Awards but never threw a no-hitter? And kind of the opposite of that, this is my third question, what Major League pitcher threw 7 no-hitters but never won a Cy Young Award?
Life's not fair.
Life is not fair. So that's those are my three questions.
Here's what I've got, starting out with multiple choice. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, is a phrase in which language? A, Swahili, B, Portuguese, or C, it's a made-up Disney phrase. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, you got the song kind of going in your head right now, but it's a phrase in which language? Swahili, Portuguese, or it's a made-up Disney phrase. Second question, what did sailors and pirates eat to prevent scurvy? What did sailors eat to prevent scurvy?
Fresh corn on the cob right out of the garden.
Yeah, they had a little dirt back there on the poop deck, and they had some fresh tomatoes, corn growing.
I didn't need that image, but you go ahead.
Probably should have gone with a different part of the on the stern.
I know what you're talking about. I've studied enough history.
Here's my true or false third question. Yeah. A chameleon's tongue is twice as long as his body. Is that true or false? A chameleon, you know, like the little gecko or a lizard or whatever, the one that gets on something orange and turns orange, it gets on something blue and turns blue. A chameleon's tongue is twice as long as his body. True or false?
Man, I hate to get that thing tangled up, you know, walking down the street.
My wife owned a chameleon one time. I'm being serious.
Really?
Did you see it change colors? Did that really?
It does, and it did. And
what about that tongue?
When you put crickets in ice?
Yeah.
Wait, easy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I won't get too.
Okay, when you get what? Now I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
What now? You got
so
crickets
you
and what?
Feed them
ice cream
with crickets, and so I would put them in there. I'd tell my wife, "Wait till I get home from work. I want to feed the chameleon." And that thing's eye, both its eyes go in different directions.
Yeah.
And its eyes.
I had an uncle like that. That's why you don't want to be born and raised too close to the nuclear plant. That's just one of many reasons. Or have a house under the power lines. They say what they want about them power lines. You got an uncle whose eyes go all jiggly. You don't know if he's looking over your shoulder or he's looking right at you trying to carry on a conversation. Going all willy-nilly.
I love that character.
Hey,
man.
Back that's to a, your thing.
No, I would just
chameleon that, in one corner. It,
yeah,
and
it's,
the crickets
it's
in the
eyes,
other, the aquarium.
Its eyes would look down and you just say that you better say your prayers because that chameleon was locked on, and it was a big old cage.
Oh
and
my!
So I won't say anything. I don't know the answer to your
ladies
question.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the chameleon in this one, this corner of the aquarium, and the cricket in the other. We're not going to tell you how long his tongue is, but as Ed Vitagliano said at ringside, that cricket better say his prayers.
Better say its prayers. All right, that's it. That's all I got. That's for sure.
JJ?
Yeah, I just had mine.
Oh, you did? Okay,
third.
I'm sorry. All right, here are my three questions, and we'll get to the phones here. For 30 years, the Labrador Retriever was the number one dog in America. As far as
for good reason,
for good reason,
most,
yeah. I'm right
most,
there with you.
Most popular, okay, pet, whatever. There is a dog breed that took over 2 years ago and has been number one since. I may have asked this question a few months ago. I can't remember, but anyway. So the question is, what is the name of the dog breed that's the number one dog breed in America now and has been for the last 2 years?
I'm guessing it's from China. China.
China.
So 2 years ago, it took over. It took over every other area of our economy.
All right. Second question is, this actor, still alive today, was a major movie star for Disney in the 60s and 70s. His movies include The Barefoot Executive and The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes. Name this actor. Do you know that?
I do. I know that.
You know JJ?
I can see him, but I can't remember his name.
All right. So here's my third question. What is added to oil, vinegar, and lemon juice to make mayonnaise? What is added to oil, vinegar, and lemon juice to make mayonnaise?
You mean like when you're over at Ed's relative's house and they get out some white loaf bread, smear that mayonnaise on there and put some fresh tomatoes on there.
Yes, sir.
Have some oregano in it.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Let's move on to the phones.
Let's go to Nebraska, and Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yeah, my friends call me Mike.
Mike.
Well, we'll call you Mike, too, then, Brother Mike.
Hey, Mike, being from Nebraska, you've had some fresh corn on the cob, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot of corn. It keeps up with my corny jokes.
Yes, sir.
Well, you've come to the right place, Mike. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
We'll do both.
All right. Which one do you want to answer?
So many choices here. Let's see here. I'll do the sailors and the pirates.
Here's the question, Mike. Let's see.
That was a group, by the way.
The sailors and the pirates.
They were good, too, man. I'm telling you, they didn't get enough respect.
Sailors and pirates eat to prevent scurvy? Little backstory, scurvy killed over 2 million sailors between the 16th and 18th century. It was a big deal. Yeah. So what did sailors and pirates eat to prevent scurvy, Mike?
So it was citrus, lemons, and limes. That for the vitamin C.
Nicely done.
Yeah,
the answer is citrus fruits. They ate lemons, limes, and oranges. Scurvy is caused by lack of vitamin C.
I wonder. I've always wondered how they.
That's why they call them limeys.
Oh, that is right.
Is that right? The British?
Yeah. How did you know that? Do you just remember that from history, or were you a pirate in an earlier life?
I have a lot of trivia that's not trivial, so yeah, that's in my brain.
Well, way to start us out with the correct answer, and Happy New Year to you and your family. What's your question for us?
Happy New Year's to you, too. Speaking of New Year's, okay, on New Year's night, the Capitol, the Washington Monument, the Empire State Building, all got struck by lightning. Is that true or false?
You talking about the other day?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I can't imagine him making all that up, so I'm going to say true. But if that's true, I think that's a great last thing to do with Joe Biden and company.
On the way out. Yeah.
Here you go.
I'm going to go with
JJ. What I think about y'all's administration.
That doesn't sound like it's made up.
The Empire State Building, the Capitol, and what else?
The Washington Monument.
All got hit by lightning?
I can see the Empire State Building and the Washington Monument frequently getting hit by lightning.
The lightning rod up there for a reason.
All right, I'm going to say true, Michael.
Okay, that's 100% true. They also said that the New World Trade Center also got hit by lightning same time.
Wow. You mean the same day, same night, or whatever?
Same night. Yeah. I think the one with the Capitol and the Washington Monument were simultaneous.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, Michael, again, thank you for listening to AFR, and we trust you and your family to have a blessed New Year.
All right, we go to Iowa.
Stay in corn country.
Yeah, Iowa. Right. Caleb is on the line. We were in Nebraska, and now Iowa. Caleb, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Where do you live in Iowa, Caleb?
North Central.
Okay, North Central. Well, Caleb, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I will do both.
All right, which one you want to answer?
I will answer the one about the chameleon's tongue.
Okay. Boy, I'm getting a lot of traction here.
All right, what's the question again,
Here's
JJ?
The question. It's true or false. Mm-hmm. A chameleon's tongue is twice as long as its body. Is that true or false?
And talk about being made
that
fun.
Is.
Go ahead.
True.
That is 100% true.
Wow.
And if you don't believe it, you can call Ed's wife.
Well,
she'll tell you.
The chameleon is no more.
But last thing the cricket said was to his buddy, "No way, we're too far away." George, we're too far away.
That's like famous last words. One thing about famous last words. What duck?
What? Man, you're talking duck. About... The tongue is like
twice as long
Gene
as
Simmons'
body. More than that. Yeah. Hey, how did you know that?
By watching a show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good answer.
Interested in science.
What's your question for us?
In the first 5 years of their NFL career, what two quarterbacks have the most Super Bowl appearances?
All right.
Oh, in the first 5 years
of their career?
Of their career.
Who has the most Super Bowl appearances?
So just go back on who had some of the most Super Bowl, like Brady, one of the Mannings.
Are you asking, there's one answer? Or how many?
They're tied.
There's two people tied?
Well, he's...
Yes.
Okay, two people now, tied.
How many Elway? Right. How many? What are some ones that are at the top?
Okay, his was later on in his career, I think.
I think Joe Namath, I think, was.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That was early in his career.
Yes, let's stop just a minute.
Okay.
I don't mean to sound like a teacher here.
It's okay.
Joe Namath had one appearance.
Right.
Okay. Oh, that's all?
That's all.
Yes.
So okay, that's not going to be a consideration here.
Okay.
Okay, so Tom Brady is almost.
He's got to be
one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Tom Brady one of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Tom Brady's got to be one of them. The other one would don't say anything, Caleb. The other one would have to be either Joe Montana, but I think he was later on in his career. Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw's a good.
Because they had.
First 5 years.
The key is Roger, to be how early.
Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
Is another one. So pick one of those.
We could pick one each, and then we'd win.
Outcome-based.
Huh?
Outcome-based.
No, it's just hedging your bet.
Hey, Caleb, is the answer, I know this is cheating a little bit, is the answer one of the three we mentioned there?
No.
Really? Well, all right, you better give us the answer.
We've Jim Kelly may be the answer.
The second one is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
Didn't even think about
it. I didn't think of someone that current.
No, no. Yeah, so we got one of two, which is 50%.
That's right. That's good for baseball.
It's an elf in school.
Getting up to the plate. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Caleb, that was a great question.
It really was.
I don't think I've ever heard that question.
Well, you don't think about – you're not thinking way back in the past.
I was thinking back when George Washington and his friends were getting together and playing some
– crossing the Delaware.
Football. Hey, have a happy new year. Tell your family thank you for listening to AFR.
And who's next, Ed?
All right, we'll go to Mississippi, and Haywood is on the line. Haywood, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, Happy New Year, professors.
Hey, Haywood. Thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Haywood, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'd like to do both.
All right, which one you want to try to answer?
The mayonnaise.
All right, the mayonnaise question is as follows, which Haywood's going to answer. So, what is added to oil, vinegar, and lemon juice to make mayonnaise, Haywood?
That'd be egg whites.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Right.
I have egg yolks, same thing, right?
No.
No.
But
it, parts of an egg, that's okay.
I got egg. Egg yolks egg, is what I have
Oh,
here.
Egg yolks, all right.
Yeah, to add.
I'd just say eggs.
Yeah, eggs.
Egg. Yeah, good.
In the egg family.
I didn't know that vinegar and lemon juice were in mayonnaise.
Oil, vinegar, and lemon juice.
Melanie and the girls made some homemade mayonnaise the other day. Melanie started making a homemade detergent to wash the
She didn't put any detergent in the mayonnaise.
No. Okay. But they've just been watching. They've been binge watching Little House on the Prairie. It's paying off for me.
Is it right? Did they use these ingredients?
See, I remember her saying, I only kind of go through the kitchen. I'm not really allowed in the kitchen for various reasons. But they were saying, Melanie was saying, I'm amazed. I'm shocked that there's only this, and this to make mayonnaise. It's so easy to make.
Yeah.
And you know what you're
getting.
So you
don't know.
Does it taste good?
Ask her off the air if that's right.
Oh, no, it's going to be right. Yeah, for both of them. You know, it was only like about four ingredients. So, yeah, that's pretty good that they're getting all DIY.
Yes. Fire away.
Okay. In 1990, Brother Don Wildman, along with Mississippi Right to Life, had a pro-life rally in South Jackson to close up the last abortion clinic operating in South Jackson at that time. There was three of us standing on the sidewalk. One was your father, Mr. Don Wildman, Brother Don Wildman, me, and another gentleman. And a city council member named Gwen Harmon jerked the press credentials off of the guy on my left. What was his name?
His name was John Riley.
Well, that was too easy.
A lot of our listeners don't know that. John Riley was there. Press credentials, asking questions, and they ripped the thing off and bullied him. And in fact, Brother Don never took anything laying down. They sued the city of Jackson and won.
Wow!
And had to write a check, like to cover the attorney's fees. And just Brother Don always wanted to make a point. He wasn't to do the money, but let's put this and let this be a precedent: free speech. Press credentials, you don't do that.
As his son, I didn't always like the points he made. I'll just tell you that right now.
Dads are always making a point of some sort.
All right,
thank you, Haywood.
God
bless you, my friend.
Me.
We're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back after the break. We will reset our questions and then on to David in North Carolina. He's up next.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives. which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Kato, you fool. Do you have a last song for that Mickey?
You know, I remember when we hired you, that was the thing that put you over the top right there.
That's right. All those
Ed,
applicants.
Well, he brought his resume and that's everything. Right. We did an interview with Ed, and of course, I knew him from our time together. And then he said, "Hey, I can do one more thing. I bet none of the other people applying for this job can do." And then
he did. The way it was is you said, I see here on your application that you're an inspector. And I said, chief inspector.
Yes.
Look, while we're there, I cannot believe I mentioned sailors and pirates. And I didn't get a reaction from you on the pirates.
Oh,
not too late.
Yeah, not too late after doing Inspector Clouseau.
All right. So,
this Panther.
Trivia Friday it is here on American Family Radio. Also known as Learning University. Learning University is on the air. I'm Professor Tim with Professor Ed and Professor JJ.
Great to be here.
And we are going to repeat our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
All right, here are my three questions. Question number one, who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow? Second question, what major league pitcher won 7 Cy Young Awards, but never threw a no-hitter? And then the kind of the flip side of that, third question, what major league pitcher threw 7 no-hitters, but never won a Cy Young Award? So they're kind of the corollaries of each other, I guess.
Here's what I've got. First question, Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, is a phrase in which language? Is it Swahili, Portuguese, or it's a made-up Disney phrase, a multiple-choice question for you. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. Is it Swahili, Portuguese, or it's just a made-up Disney phrase? I'll add two more. Who wrote the novel Call of the Wild? Who wrote the novel classic Call of the Wild? Third question, what popular soft drink claims to contain 23 flavors? Which popular soft drink claims to contain 23 flavors.
You mean 23 flavors in one drink?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what gives it its snap, crackle, and pop.
23? I don't know. There's just so many questions there. How would you ever know?
This is what makes life the guys worth
that are,
living.
The guys that are putting it together a little.
Ingredient?
A tad of cinnamon.
Okay,
I
got
lemon,
you.
A little
okay.
drop of
this.
Got drop
yeah.
of that.
Kind
of like making mayonnaise.
Well, yeah. It's like a Colonel Sanders recipe. Nobody's going to know, you know, because they don't have the key to the vault
right.
to find out. They can't duplicate it.
All right, here are my questions. I have two questions left here, and then I'll add another one if one of these gets answered. Now, the Labrador Retriever has been the number one American most popular dog breed for 30 years. Well, the last 2 years, there's been a dog rise up. This dog rose up, or rise up, however you want to say it.
You can call it a coup if you want to. You know,
it was a dog coup.
Yeah, it was.
And this dog breed is now the number one dog breed in America and has been for the last 2 years. I want to know which dog breed
that is.
I
don't know the answer to that.
All right, and my second question is, this actor who's still alive today was a major movie star for Disney in the 60s and 70s. This is a baby boomer question. I'd like to throw one of those in because I are one. His movies included the Barefoot Executive and The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes. What was the name of this gentleman? As I say, what was it? Still is. He's still alive today. All right, Ed.
All right, we go to North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And David is on the line.
I'll say.
David,
boy,
welcome.
You ain't old Chicken Hawk.
Welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you, and happy third day of 2025.
Yes, sir. Amen, David. Thank you, sir.
Thank
happy
you, brother.
New Year.
Hey, David, you want to ask, thank answer, you. Or do both?
I want to answer and stump you with a riddle from my 8-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, that sounds like a good challenge.
Try it, David. Try to stump us.
I'm
pretty
confident. I was looking through some. Yeah.
I got 3/3 of a brain right here. 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. Go ahead.
I was looking through some secondhand books at a thrift store this week, and I think I know the answer to the Sleepy Hollow.
All right, David, here's the question. Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
I believe, if I recall, it was Washington Irving.
That is
correct. Hey, that's a mystery question.
I want you to look what happened for somebody, quote unquote, randomly.
Yeah.
Perusing through some books at a thrift store, and who knew that was going to be the question on
which leads to an AFR ball cap.
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations.
Happy New Year. You just won an AFR ball cap.
I don't think this is coincidence.
I don't either.
Oh, no.
I don't believe in coincidences.
One size fits all, right?
That's right.
Well, it's adjustable on the back. Yeah, so the answer is yes.
Yeah, hey, way to go.
David, if you got a big head, you can put it on.
Or a small head. Or maybe a granddaughter. Who knows who's going to wind up with this?
I might give it to my granddaughter.
There you go.
Okay?
Hey, listen, David, stay on the line so they can get your address where we can send that. And no kidding, congratulations. What's your riddle?
Hey, by the way, let me just jump in for just a second. Washington Irving also wrote the short story Rip Van Winkle.
Oh,
so that story of the guy who slept for 30 years. So these were way back in the early 1800s and became famous, best-selling short stories. So a little bit of...
still known today.
A little bit of Americana. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, by the way, is where you get the story of the Headless Horseman.
Yeah. What happened to his head, by the way?
Well, nobody knows, but it was turned into a fiery pumpkin.
Here's the deal. There's a Bible story and a truth in the Bible, it's about every single occurrence and situation. Little David, the shepherd boy, up against the giant. After he hit him right smack in the forehead with that stone, and he pulled the giant's own sword out, that was the first chance for people to learn how to get ahead.
Oh, all right. Go ahead. Go ahead, David.
Dark humor.
Yeah. Oh, I like what you did right there, Ed. Go ahead, David.
I see
what you did, David.
It's sometimes you're just on a hot streak and don't even know.
Right. We're ready for that riddle.
Get a head start. Go ahead, David.
The riddle from my 8-year-old granddaughter. All right. You're ready. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can stump you.
Okay.
You're in a metal box with a chair and a mirror. How do you get out?
You're in a metal box.
Metal box with a chair and a mirror. Okay, so this is not one of those things where you, like, open the door, right? Something that you're not thinking about. I mean.
You're in a metal box.
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say open the door.
Open the door and walk out?
Just open the door. That's what, because it's a riddle, and he's expecting us to overthink it.
Somebody's ringing the bell. Why does that song come to me?
A song always comes to you.
Yes, that's our answer.
All right, we're going to say you open the door and walk out, David.
Not exactly.
All right, then you take the mirror because there's a little bit of sunlight coming through, and you turn it as use it for a magnifying glass, catch the chair on fire. But I don't know how that would get you to where the door would open. All right, we're stumped.
Very close.
All right.
You look in the mirror, and you see what you saw. You take the saw and cut the table in half. Two halves make a hole. You crawl through the hole, and you're out.
I like it.
That's a good riddle. What's your granddaughter's name that stumped the panel?
Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Is Kate listening?
Great riddle.
I'm just kidding. I don't like any riddle I can't answer. So, but that is repeat the question and answer, because there are some listeners who want to use that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You're in a metal box with a chair and a mirror. Uh-huh. How do you get out?
Uh-huh. You look in the mirror and you see what you saw. Uh-huh. You take the saw and you cut the chair in half.
Table in half.
The table in half, and two halves make a hole, and you crawl through the hole and get out.
Yeah. I don't mean to make everything political, but that sounds like a government explanation for why they gave, $50 million to,
study that.
That was the explanation they gave.
All right, Brother David, thank you so much. Good to hear from you.
Hang on, David. I'm going to put you on hold, and Cindy will get your information, and we'll send you a cap for either you or your granddaughter, Kate. And good job.
That was great.
Stumped the panel as well. So
that was pretty crazy that he's looking through a thrift store and happens to just read it and just saw it. You know, that's like when you're not exactly like it, but you're reading your Bible and you're like, wait, I just thought of that today.
Yeah.
And here it is. I'm reading it. Or we just had that conversation. Now I'm reading about it. But God's Word's alive and it's the Holy Bible. But just to see all those things that fit together like that, what's the chances to do that and then be on a national radio show and hear that same
and
question.
And win a hat.
How cool is that?
All right, we go back to Mississippi, and Anise, I think maybe, is the name of our caller. Anise, do I have your name correctly?
Anise.
Okay. All right. Anise, I apologize. Welcome to Trivia Friday.
Okay. Well, Happy New Year to y'all.
Happy New Year, Anise. Hey, Anise, before we do your Q&A here, and you, if you can tell me what happened to the head of the Headless Horseman, I got a AFR travel ball cap for you. What happened to his head?
I have no idea.
I'm with you, Anise. I don't know.
That stuff's scary. Too scary for me.
Maybe we ought to read the book.
I remember that story, but I don't remember what happened.
Let's write a sequel.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought maybe you knew. Go ahead. Do you want to ask or answer or what?
Both.
Okay.
Well, some of them have been answered, but the who wrote The Call of the Wild?
Yes, ma'am. Here's the question. Who wrote the novel Call of the Wild?
I think it was Jack London.
Jack London. And I think that was written like 1911. And what a classic. I remember reading that in high school. And great
Did he write any other books?
I don't know the answer to that.
I think he wrote The Sea Wolf, which is really a good book. He wrote several novels. He was like an outdoorsman.
How'd you know that?
I just remembered it from 100 years ago. Right.
Anise, I was never able to finish a book. I started a bunch, but finishing has never been my strong suit, and that was one of the first books I ever read all the way through because it was just so interesting. Do you know if he, as what Ed mentioned, a couple, do you know of a couple more books that he wrote?
No, I can't think of it right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, what's your question for us?
Okay, it's Andy Griffith.
Where's Bert?
Ed's ready.
Okay. What the population of Mayberry is?
All right, Ian.
What was population
of Mayberry?
Good grief! I don't know. I'll say 1,000.
Salute.
560.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw a number out.
It's probably closer to that.
560 people, men, women, and children, and pets. What's the answer, Anise?
It's more than 2,000.
Wow.
When the choir was trying to get a tenor, to sing with them, and he said, surely in a town of 2,000 people, we should be able to find one.
Oh, that was a good one.
Oh, that's a good memory there, you guys, there, Annis, for the Andy Griffith Show trivia. I wonder if Bert would have known that one.
He would have.
Probably.
Yeah, he would have.
He still. It's been a while since I've watched it, the show, because I watched it for so long, and it's hard for me to watch because I know everything's coming up.
Right.
But Bert still watches it, so he probably would have. He wouldn't probably nailed that.
Annis, thank you. Thank you so much for your love and your prayers and your support for AFA and AFR. God bless you, and happy new year to you and your family.
And hey, by the way, White Fang is also another one that Jack
loved. That was a great book to turn into a great movie.
They were the outdoors in the wild books. Let's repeat our questions quickly.
All right, I'll have to add one since I had one answered. First question, what Major League Baseball pitcher won 7 Cy Young Awards but never threw a no-hitter? And the second question is like unto it, what Major League Baseball pitcher threw 7 no-hitters but never won a Cy Young Award? And I will add a third question. What is considered the first competitive sport invented? What is considered the first competitive sport invented? That's what I've got.
Here's what I've got. First question, multiple choice. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, is a phrase in which language? Is it A, Swahili, B, Portuguese, or C, a made-up Disney phrase? Second question, what popular soft drink claims to contain 23 flavors? Now, I'll add one. In the Peanuts comics, Linus and Lucy, what's their last name? What is the last name of Linus and Lucy?
All right, I got two questions left here. I want to know the most popular dog breed in America. What is the most popular dog breed in America?
And it's not Labrador.
That's right. Labrador was for 30 years, but got replaced by this particular breed. This actor, still alive today, was a major movie star for Disney in the 60s and 70s. In fact, they signed him to a contract, Disney did. His movies included The Barefoot Executive and The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. And he went on to have an acting career beyond the Disney brand.
If we named those movies,
people would know.
They
probably know by what I've already given here. But anyway, what's the name of this gentleman? Go ahead, Ed.
All right, let's go to Texas. And Tom is on the line. Tom, welcome, sir, to Trivia Friday.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey. Thank you very much. Where do you live in Texas,
all right,
Tom?
Mm-hmm. I live in a town called Frisco, which is a town north of Dallas. It's actually a fairly large city.
Frisco. Well, howdy, Tom. Ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
I'm going to go with the Hakuna Matata.
Here's the answer. Here's the question.
Did he get it right?
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
Say it again, Tom. Go ahead. We just want to make sure before you answer the question you get it right. Go ahead. Tom?
Oh, you want me to say it again?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Hakuna Matata.
Okay. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries, is a phrase in which language? Is it Swahili, Portuguese, or it's a made-up Disney phrase? What's the answer, Tom?
That would be Swahili.
It is Swahili.
Wow. Way to go, Tom.
Hey, quick story, Tom. My daughter is living in Kenya as a teacher/missionary. She was at the little grocery store, which I think they call them Dukas. She bumped into somebody while she was looking at all these labels. She had no idea what she was looking at or even what the food was, the brand or anything. She bumped into this guy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He said, Hakuna Matata. And she said, what'd you just say? He said, Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. Oh, I know what it means. She said, I just thought it was a made-up Disney thing.
Like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes. And so I told her, I said, well, now you know. So if you're ever trying to communicate with somebody and get to an impasse, grab you a little lion cub, go to the edge of a cliff and hold it up and go, ah, Savinia, because that probably means something too.
That probably is all real language that they use.
Yeah, I FaceTimed Maddie an hour ago, which is like 8 o'clock at night, and she was having a Swahili lesson with an older gentleman, and she introduced me to him. I said, hello, it's an older man. She is learning Swahili. So who knew that was a real phrase?
Wow.
That really does mean no worries.
Hey, Tom, good job. By the way, did you know that? You just kind of guess or what?
Well, I have three kids and 7 grandchildren. Oh. You kind of know that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you that's can sing the song. Hey, what's your question for us, Tom?
Yeah. So what is the longest word in the dictionary, and what does it mean?
Longest word in the dictionary?
I think we've had this question
before. We
have before,
had it. Yeah.
But it's too long to remember.
Too long to remember. And I don't remember the definition being, you know.
Man. Now, we're not talking about, like, that made-up word.
The real word.
It's a real word.
No, it's a medical word. It's
yeah,
for
it
sure.
Was.
You better go ahead and tell
yeah,
us.
I'll never remember that.
Okay, so it's pneumonal ultramicroscopic psilocovulcanoconiosis, which is a situation where you have miners get it. It's quartz dust and silicone dust that gets in your lungs and pretty much stays there. It's an incurable type of disease for the people that do end up getting it. But
how do you get that, Tom?
The miner being down in the mines.
Yeah.
Well, what's your age? What's your age got to do with anything? If you're a miner, and you know how does
Ed, we need just wait till the break. Get out. We'll explain it to you during the break. How about that? Wow, that's
good luck. So that is a minor profits to him at that same conversation.
So that is a serious lung disease right there.
Because there's some things that you can't. Once it goes to your lungs, it goes into your lungs. It doesn't come back.
Just
up.
Like black lung for the coal miners. You know, that was a real terrible for them.
That's the longest word in the English language?
In the dictionary.
Longest word, I'm a respiratory therapist, so I have used this word a couple of times in my career.
Well, it sounded like you knew how to pronounce
it. Yeah,
is it shorthand in any way? Or is it you always have to say the whole word?
No, I've never heard it said any other way.
Well, here's the deal. You say you never have had it said, but I started reading my Bible again this year. A couple of my old boys' names, son of somebody and son of somebody, come awful close to that.
All
right, Tom.
Names.
Thank you to Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother Tom.
Tights and,
hey, I was just kidding around with Tom and making him pronounce the word again because I can't pronounce it myself.
Hakuna Matata.
It's Hakuna.
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 Matata.
Matata.
I'm with you. I don't know if it starts with an A or H or whatever, you know.
My Swahili.
Well, you say not, Matata, I say Matuta. Yeah.
That's
you know,
right.
It's not right. Really. Around here, nobody's going to care. You go to Swahili land, though.
That's right. She is in Kajabi, Kenya, and she's actually, like with the movie, she is right on the edge of the pride land. She has camped there, seen zebra, giraffes surrounded their camp, and she was in a hammock, heard some jangling at the fire, some tin cups and all, and there were
baboons?
Hyenas.
Oh,
and she said
they're dangerous.
She said she was 10 feet away. And she was in a hammock, which I said, you were in a human burrito.
Burrito.
If a lion had come up or something.
Yeah.
And we told her, don't do anything risky. Well, she was with a family, but she said, I will say the hyenas, they don't look anything like they do in the cartoons. So they got a thick chest and big, long, sharp teeth. And she said it was very, very scary.
Yeah, they are. They are.
No laughing matter.
No, sometimes they are scavengers, but they're also pack hunters.
Pack hunters.
Yeah.
I tried one as a pet one time.
Right. Y'all missed that, no laughing matter.
We kept that thing like 5 days, and I just said, we got to take this thing back.
Take it back. PetSmart.
Took it back to PetSmart, and I said, this animal is uncontrollable. You're going to have to give me something else.
I'll be able to
upset
get
the children.
Fetch.
So you asked for a Komodo dragon after that, right?
No, give me one of them pets that's tongues is twice as long as its body. And one of them chameleon things.
You can have your baboon back, sir.
And your hyena.
They said, well, we don't give refunds. We just do exchanges.
All so sales are fine.
Right. That's right.
Especially when it comes to hyenas. We get you to buy it. You're keeping it. We don't want it back.
Take that thing home in the back seat.
Like a warranty for a refrigerator you never got.
All right. Do we have time before the break for one more?
I think Probably. Let's get started here.
All right. Arkansas. Bruce, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
All right. All right. All right.
Buddy. Happy New Year.
Bruce, you want to ask, answer, or both?
We'll try both.
All right. Which one you want to try to answer?
The dog one.
All right. Right here, Bruce, is the question. Labrador Retriever for 30 years was the most popular dog breed in America, but this particular breed has taken over the last 2 years as the most popular. What is it?
The French Bulldog.
Yes.
Wow. What?
Yes,
the
that's
French
right.
Bulldog?
The French Bulldog. You know any more about that?
Just that they're so darn cute and goofy looking. I kind of don't get it, but I'm a dog person,
yeah.
So
you can't. What are you gonna? I don't know.
I don't know how much. I don't know how much they weigh. French Bulldogs. I'm just looking at them. I'm guessing 20 pounds. But anyway.
Yeah, they're like a big Chinese pug kind of size. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna. Can you hold on through the break, Bruce?
Sure.
Please hold on, Bruce in Arkansas. We'll come back to you so we're not rushed here with your question for us. Yeah, the top four breeds of dogs in America: French Bulldog number one, Chihuahua number two.
Wait, they beat the Labrador.
Wow. Golden Retriever, three, and Labs are fourth now, behind those dogs. So, anyway, we shall return momentarily with more of Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.